Come see us do stand-up in Baltimore, Hartford, Syracuse, Atlantic City, Levittown, New York, Coho, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, and San Jose, California. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for the tickets. There's a new movie out. I'm going to show you the trailer right now from the producers of Plandemic, right? You, everybody loved Plandemic, award-winning, and they have a new movie out. It's called The Silenced. Let's watch the trailer for it right now, shall we?
Was why isn't the United States looking in our own backyard for our data?
Madeline. Hey, honey, it's Daddy.
But they were. They just weren't telling us what it said.
Maddie? 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 Hey, what's the matter?
I need to take this out. Help. I need this out. I can't do it.
Most of you have never heard of me.
I did my part. I got it.
And most likely have never heard of most of us here.
I'm scared and sad and hurting too. I am you, and I just want someone to help me too. Thank you, guys.
I would like to introduce, I'm proud to introduce, Miss Breanne Dressen.
I don't know where to go. Her cause of death, her actual cause of death is not on this thing.
Thanks for returning my call.
And I did not want to be the
it's
one.
It's been 3 months and you're still coming.
Every single day.
The worst part was I could not walk. I
couldn't move my arms or legs.
I couldn't walk, I couldn't move.
Shaking, uncontrollable,
moving my legs.
I can't feel my legs, I can't feel anything.
They're not calling the FDA, they're calling us.
I don't want to die, I want to still live for my kids.
Blood clot in his internal jugular vein.
Next week is his birthday. You know what, I better celebrate his birthday.
Why it is the responsibility of sick people to do this is beyond me.
I participated in the clinical trial for AstraZeneca. She participated in the Pfizer COVID vaccine trial.
They dropped me from the trial.
35 adverse events, reduced to functional abdominal pain, it's a stomach ache. I wonder what else was hidden.
The truth is not out there. And it's thanks to these guys. They've done everything they can to hide people, to hide injustices, and to even literally hide the cries of those people that are suffering.
If we try to talk about it on social media, you get banned. People don't know we even exist.
Denise Hertz is on an email string with the heads of the NIH.
These are safe and effective products.
The CDC.
There is no bad time to get your second shot.
The heads of the FDA.
We have very good safety surveillance systems in place.
If you look at MERS database, there are more than 1,000 neurological side effects already reported.
None of us are denying that this potential vaccine entry here.
We already have 1,200 people who've died.
And that's in about 2 months of availability.
For these mRNA vaccines, there is incredible BS out there about thousands of people dying, etc. That just ain't true.
This stack of patients are patients that are stuck.
There were 50 to 100 reports going missing. I mean, VAERS IDs being disappeared.
If they put down that it was a vaccine injury, they actually won't get reimbursed, so it gets labeled as anxiety.
Diagnosed with vertigo, severe panic attack.
Functional neurologic disorder.
Factitious disorder. So basically, she was making it up.
I was muffled. I was told I was wrong. I was told to go home, and I was told not to talk.
These are human lives. They're just going to stay in limbo forever.
There's a whistleblower early on, Brooke Jackson, last year.
I contacted the FDA and submitted a formal complaint.
They're unblinding patients.
How many studies do you run where you take the placebo group and give them vaccine to?
I threatened to go public, no matter what the consequence was.
The government killed my baby. I'm not going to stop this fight.
I told my family that I was going to end my life.
I got to look at my son and tell him, honey, I'm gonna be okay. But in my heart, I don't know if I'm gonna be okay. I don't know if I'm gonna wake up tomorrow. I don't know if I'm gonna be in a wheelchair the rest of my life.
It broke my son to hear that his mom wanted to die because she had gotten a COVID vaccine.
These are human stories. These aren't people with political agendas.
If I was an anti-vaxxer, I wouldn't have been standing in the freaking line to get the shot.
I just want my daughter back.
So this story has everything to be interesting, right? You've got scandal.
FEMA had offered me money if I changed my son's death certificate from enlarged heart to COVID.
You've got secrets.
The FDA wanted 75 years
to release this data.
And what the FDA did to me was contact Pfizer and get me fired.
We don't have any secrets here.
You've got money.
A patent for the Moderna vaccine is owned by the Department of Health and Human Services.
And power.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
But the base of this story, the very center of this story, is love.
I won't sleep until this war is done.
Because without validation, without love, without acceptance, healing cannot happen.
We can't give up.
Let's get you some of your life back, okay?
And we can't give in.
I know that I'm on the other side of the country, but I promise you, you're not alone.
So that's what this story is about. It's about love. I'm not gonna give up. And I'm not going to give up on these people.
Wow, that was a very powerful trailer. Let me bring in the makers of that movie. Mickey Willis is the producer. He's an investigative journalist, filmmaker, dedicated to exposing corruption at the highest levels in 2020. He released his first installment of his documentary series, Plandemic, which was followed by Plandemic 2, Indoctrination, and Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. In October of 2024, he saw the release of the fourth and final installment, Plandemic the Musical. Also with us is the director, Matthew Guthrie, is Austin-based filmmaker who has collaborated on notable projects such as Ruth in 2020, QT8, The First Eight in 2019, and 21 Years, Richard Linklater in 2014. His passion for storytelling through film has made him a respected figure in the Texas film community and a driving force behind the highly anticipated upcoming film release, Follow the Silenced. And also with us, returning back to the show, is Brianne Dreesen. She is a vaccine injury advocate and the co-founder of React 19, a science-based nonprofit offering financial, physical, and emotional support for those suffering from long-term COVID-19 vaccine adverse events. She is an injured AstraZeneca clinical trial participant. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Thanks for having us and for your continued support of the films that we put out in the world.
So my pleasure. So, tell me, Mickey, what led you to want to do this film? You've done three films on COVID already. And so what made you want to do this one?
Well, this film started 4 years ago, actually. I got a phone call from Steve Kirsch, who, as you likely know, has been a big funder of a lot of the freedom and vaccine truth movement. And so he reached out to me 4 years ago and asked me if I had time to do a film on the subject because he had been vaccine injured. And it actually started with his carpet cleaner who was vaccine injured. That's really what started Steve to explore the situation, realizing that even though he had been vaccinated, when his carpet cleaner didn't show up one day, and finally he got a hold of him and said, what's going on? He said both he and his wife had the same condition. And he said, well, that's the chances of that are one in a trillion. What's going on there? And what might you have done recently that could have caused that? And the conversation narrowed into the fact that they had both just been recently vaccinated. And so when Steve called me, I was actually in the middle of producing Plandemic, The Great Awakening. And so I said, well, I'm pretty tapped out right now as a director, but I will gladly oversee this as an executive director, and I'll bring in one of my guys, my A-lister here, Matt. I'll bring in my best guy, and he'll go out and do all the interviews and travel around and get these interviews. And we thought the film would be done in a year, but it really needed the time and the breath to grow, to follow these people around who we've all fallen in love with now as they are on their healing journey and on their legal journey, finding justice and really doing some big work in the world as a bunch of citizens that have united over the tragedy of vaccine injuries to help others. They've been saving lives and really helping to get laws changed.
I mean, you're not trying to say that the COVID-19 vaccine is not safe and effective, because
we know it's very, very safe and effective and has saved hundreds of millions of lives.
Right.
But the four people that it hurt are in this movie.
Okay. Let me go to Matthew Guthrie. Welcome to the show. And
hey, Jimmy. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Tell me about your experience making this film, Silence.
Well, yeah, and it's actually it's called Follow the Silence.
Follow the
Silence.
Kind of
a play on word with Follow the Science, right?
Mm-hmm.
This movie, honestly, God just put this on my heart in 2021, I suppose, 2020. I actually had saw the press conference that Bree and Stephanie DeGary and Candace and many of the people that I would randomly meet several months later, I saw that press conference. I was actually at the High Wire when they were airing the first recordings of nurses that were injured by the COVID vaccine. And seeing all of these testimonies, it just seemed so obvious to me that something very terrible was happening. And for whatever reason, I just felt like I had to get involved. I was going to – so I was actually in Costa Rica working on another project on another show, and I had just got awoken in the middle of the night and had this experience where God had told me that there was something that he needed me to do, and I knew it was this film. So when I left Costa Rica, I was going to call Dell Bigtree and ask Dell if he would potentially sponsor and be an executive producer for this film, because I wanted to go out and find these people and document this story. Before I got an opportunity to, I got a phone call in the middle of the jungle, which my phone didn't ring for 8 weeks. And it was a friend of mine saying, "Hey, Mickey Willis wants to meet you." I'm like, "Well, that's strange. I know that name, but I didn't know Mickey at the time. Didn't really know his work, unfortunately, at the time." So when I got back to, from Costa Rica, I got on the phone with Mickey and we became brothers in seconds. And he asked me to make the movie that I was going to Dell to ask him if I could make. So there was so much. I think there's a lot of divinity to this story being told. It's an incredible story. It's the most suppressed story that I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, yes, there's certainly been lots of, censorship really kicked into high gear during COVID. I think we all have experienced some form of censorship. I certainly did. Brianna, good to see you.
Good to see you.
You look like you're doing well. Now, you were a part of the AstraZeneca clinical trial, and you've told your story on this show before. You got injured, and then tell us what happened after that.
Yeah, my injury started within an hour in the drug trial. So there were several things that the drug company was supposed to be monitoring closely, which of course they didn't. And they moved as fast as they could to draw distance from me and, leave me for dead, which of course we're going after them legally for that. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, we ended up with our support groups being pulled offline within 24 hours of our press conference with Senator Ron Johnson. We ended up being at the NIH being studied for this and being confirmed with post-vaccine neuropathy diagnosed at the NIH. And we realized that the government's not going to do anything. The drug companies definitely are not going to do anything. So we decided we had no choice but to start speaking out ourselves and seeing, where we could find help. And as you know, through your own personal experience, I mean, there were countless others that had no idea that this was happening in the clinical trials. And so we've just been crying out for help and recognition ever since.
Well, I just want to let people know that film is going to be premiering at the Santa Monica Film Festival at the 20th Santa Monica Film Festival world premiere. It's going to be Saturday, March 15th, right? So not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And the venue is the Directors Guild Theater Complex in West Hollywood. Doors open at 10. Screening and panel discussion at 11. So it's a 10 a.m., doors open, 11 a.m., and there's a VIP reception at 2 p.m. Look at that if you're a VIP. So I wanted to let everybody know they can go check this out, part of the Santa Monica Film Festival. And so, Brian, you are featured in this movie. What was it like for you during making this movie?
It was pretty difficult. I'm sure you can remember, Jimmy, when you didn't know what the heck was going on in your own body. And then to have to relive that, over and over, it was a little tricky. But at the same time, it was incredibly healing to be surrounded by Nikki and Matt and their film crew that really put this story together with an incredible, believe it or not, like gentleness and care that all of the people that are cast members or they're cast members, but actually they're injured individuals that they featured. You know, nobody wants to have to recount the scariest parts of their life over and over, but these guys did a really fantastic job giving a really safe, open space for those stories to be shared. And these really are the stories that have yet to be told. Everybody knows, yeah, people got injured, whatever, but they don't know what the drug companies did with these people directly. They don't know what the government did with these people directly. They don't know what happened with the data after all of the data showed in multiple formats that this was happening. And that's where this film is, you know, it separates itself from everything else that's been done so far, because it shows the firsthand accounts that show exactly where the system is flawed and how.
Well, you know, RFK has made statements about the VAERS reporting system. And, you know, they did a study, I think it was in 2010, and they concluded that the NIH did their own study. They concluded that it captured, I think, less than 10%. Check me on that number, but it was a very small number of the actual people who were vaccine injured actually got reported on VAERS. And then when they did that study, they didn't come up with another system. They just said, well, let's just keep using the old system instead of inventing a one that's more accurate. Now, RFK Jr. has pledged that he's going to come up with a new system. Are you aware of that? And is there been any progress made on that?
Yeah, I saw that in the news, that he's proposing at least improving the existing system, which I think is an absolute necessity, right? It takes a doctor well over an hour to file one injury report into the VAERS system, which for doctors that are overtaxed in the corporate healthcare system, that's impossible to ask them to work 1 hour on an individual person's case for any condition, right? So I think that there's a lot of room for improvement there. I'm super excited to see what Kennedy is going to be able to do. But I also understand that Kennedy is going to need a lot of backup and a lot of support from the public to really make sure that he can get this across the finish line.
Yeah, they're still recommending it for everybody, which is a little surprising. But, you know, as Fauci said in your trailer, it is safe and effective. And even though it didn't have the normal 10 years that we normally wait to see if something is safe and effective or a treatment, you got to take his word for it.
You know, Jimmy, it's shocking, particularly when you see this movie. It's even more shocking because you find out that the NIH knew full well that people were being injured, severely injured, before the rollout of the vaccines. They were already treating people, studying people. This film has some smoking guns in it. I'll just put it that way.
How did you find out? Did you do a FOIA or something?
No, well, we have the people. Bree was one of those people.
Oh, so the
we don't need FOIAs. We've got mountains of emails and documents, medical records. I mean, so Jimmy, could you imagine after your injury, if you got a phone call from the NIH and they flew you out? That's what they did.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can't imagine that. No, nobody wanted to talk to me.
Or emails from the regulatory agencies that say, we are aware that there are thousands of neurologic events. You know, we know this. That means that various agencies know about them. I mean, these are email exchanges between physicians and the regulatory agencies. And the people CC'd on those emails are at every regulatory agency, including the heads of Pfizer.
And we have live Zoom calls recorded with the heads of FDA. And that's very interesting conversations that happen to really see the way that they really skate around these subjects. And they do the sake with the circle back, you know, and we'll get back to you and we hope you get better. And all this sweet talk, this poor group of React 19 went all the way to DC many, many times, but one time with the intention and the promise of meeting face to face with the FDA, and they didn't have enough guts to do that. So they ended up on a little computer screen being told exact same thing they were being told all along this process, which is, we don't have anything to hide. We don't have any of these reports. We don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't make sense. Hope you get better. We'll look into it. That was the overall attitude.
And we have correct me if I'm wrong, Bree, but there's over 7 hours of these Zoom calls, you know, that took place over 2 years. And we're going to release those to the public. They will all be available online at a yet to be determined date coming up soon, right after we get this film premiered. But, you know, this whole film is about transparency. People not only did you not get the truth, but the level that the government went to cover it up and keep it from you should absolutely terrify every American and everybody in the world, to be honest, because so many other parts of the world were taking their cues off of what U.S. health regulators were telling them to do. So this is a something that happened in the United States has global implications.
Well, what's shocking, one of the most shocking things I learned is the corruption of the medical journals. I just had on, when I got vaccine injured, I was entered into a study on how to treat people who were injured. And they did a study, they had conclusions, and they couldn't get published anywhere. And then I find out that all the medical journals are just as corrupted. And, how much does it cost to buy off a scientist? I don't know, a steak dinner? I don't know. And just like the Proximal Origins paper, we all found out that where the virus originated, that they had one view, they thought it came from a lab. Then Fauci sends them $8 million in funding, and they completely flipped on their conclusions. It's just amazing how easily scientists are bought off, and the lack of integrity and the corruption level. I mean, to me, that was just shocking. What was also shocking to me was because of COVID, I found out that the WHO is mainly funded by Bill Gates in several different ways. And the former head of the WHO admitted that when they go around begging for money, whoever gives them money gets to dictate what they do. They have to do what they say. And so Bill Gates, through Gavi and through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is one of the top funders of the WHO. So we're basically taking our healthcare cues from a guy who never finished college, is not a doctor, not a virologist. He's a monopolist, and a lot of people think worse things than that. Bill Gates, and he's bragged about how he's the biggest return. I mean, the guy's a crusher, billionaire, monopolist. How did he become a billionaire? By helping people, of course. And he's bragged on video that he gets a 20 to 1 return on his investments in vaccines. And it's been by far his greatest return on investment has been vaccines. So he's some people say he's a maniacal, pathological, he does philanthrocapitalism is what somebody calls it.
That's exactly right. And on that point with the two names that you're speaking about, Jimmy, it's really interesting when you understand that Bill Gates was the one that ushered in Tedros, who was the director of the WHO. And Tedros was a part of the Tigris People's Liberation Party, which is a full-blown terrorist party. They pulled him out of that and seated him as the head of the WHO. That's the kind of puppets they have, and that's the kind of blackmail rings they run so that these people will do whatever they say. So Bill Gates is WHO.
Yes, exactly. And Tedros, correct me if I'm wrong, not a doctor, correct?
Not a doctor.
The head of the WHO, not a doctor. Isn't that interesting? But he does have ties to terrorist organizations, which we've covered. We've covered that on this show. I encourage everybody. It sounds like a real fascinating movie and a blockbuster. Blockbuster information that's going to be revealed in it. I can't wait to see it.
It to move like a thriller. I mean, that was the thing is, I'm come from narrative filmmaking and I used every tool that I know to use when you're telling a story like this to keep it into a narrative, into a narrative world. So it's a documentary, but we really built this to move like a thriller because the truth is that's what it is. That's what happened.
Okay.
It's like a Jason Bourne film. It really is.
Well, it's a horror movie.
Is there a website that people can go to get more information?
You can go to followthesilenced.com to get more information. And as over the next few months, we're looking at doing, correct me if I'm wrong, Mickey, but we're looking to do a larger global launch towards the end of April. So then we'll release the film to the world. And with that, we're going to have more of this information available on the website. I mean, we want to be transparent. We want people to ask questions. We want them to come to the website and look through emails, look through the FDA testimonies, have the ability to comb through all of the stuff so they realize this is the truth.
And really, consider this for a moment. I want to give a shout out to David Katz and the Malibu Film Festival for having the courage to premiere a film of this nature. Think about this. In the heart of Hollywood, at the Directors Guild of America, this film, which would be one of the most controversial films you can imagine just a couple of years ago, they have the guts enough to make this their premier film there. And so big shout out to them and to you, Jimmy. The last time that you promoted our Santa Monica Film Festival screening, I would say at least half of the audience was there because of you. They all said they saw me on the Jimmy Dore show, and that's why they were there. And so you've done a really great job in helping us do what we came here to do, which is to amplify the voices of people like Bree and all the people that get shut out of society for telling the truth. So thank you so much, my friend.
So this is going to be the March 15th. Is it the Santa Monica Film Festival?
This is Malibu Film Festival.
Oh, Malibu.
Yes.
Okay, I have Santa Monica Film Festival on here for some reason.
Wait, is it?
Yeah, it's Santa Monica.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Santa Monica.
it's Santa Monica Film Festival. You helped us with the Malibu Film Festival.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Backwards.
Want to make people, so you can if you want tickets to this, you can go to the santamonicafilmfestival.com. That's the place to get tickets.
We just linked it on YouTube and Rumble.
Okay, and we just linked it. Wonderful. So, there's a link in the chat. Saturday, March 15th.
11 a.m.
It's at the Directors Guild Theater Complex in West Hollywood. I've been there for many things. So anyway, anything else you'd like to let people know before we say goodbye?
Bree, how about your book?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's a book that's not as entertaining as the movie. But yeah, so feel free to hop on Amazon. I know, but hop on Amazon. It's got uniform 5-star reviews. It's kind of like a skim over of the film. People pick it up and they can't put it down. But it's my individual injury story with a whole bunch of people in the community in it. What is it called? Matt, do you remember?
Oh, I knew you were going to do that. And it's sitting like right on the other side of that door.
You don't remember the name of your book. I love it.
No, so if you search,
Bree is. She's like,
yeah, this is what happens when I'm coming out of a flare. Jimmy knows how that goes.
Worth a shot.
Thank you. Well done, Steph.
You can check it out on Amazon. But just like the film premiere in California, Mickey and Matt have been generous enough to allow the proceeds of the event to go to two charities. It's React 19. And to Texas for Vaccine Choice. And so what you're able to do is not only support this work, but you're also supporting two charities that are working to help people on the ground in Texas and nationwide. And then also the book on Amazon, Worth a Shot, that also 100% of the proceeds are going to React 19, the nonprofit as well.
This really does help people. You know,
and the last thing, I'm sorry, Matt.
Oh, go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say the last thing that I do want to say about the film is that we all have family members, friends that are still on the fence, teetering. They've seen enough to make them curious to wonder if perhaps there's more information available. I don't know of a film with more potential to actually finally convince those hanger-oners that something afoul took place in 2020 and beyond. This movie is it. So when it is released to the world, share it far and wide, because it really has the potential to bring the truth to the system and for us to stop, you know, we get turned against each other and as vaxxed and unvaxxed. And I think that there's a real enemy, a common enemy, that we had to take our attention off of each other and reunite as the people, and to really look at the regulatory agencies and the dirty scientists and the dirty politicians and all of the greedy people who put profit over people. And this movie really spells it out in the most eloquent and captivating way that I've ever seen. Very proud of it.
Well, it's amazing you were able to put together such a compelling movie when the vaccine, as I have to let everyone know, is super safe and effective. And there are adverse events, but they are rare.
Super rare.
So it's amazing you were able to put together enough material for a whole movie. I really wish you good luck with this movie. Mickey Willis, Matthew Guthrie, and of course our good friend Brianne Dreesen, I really look forward to your book. I'm going to check that out, and maybe we'll have you back on to talk about that. That sounds great.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right, everybody.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Steph.
You're welcome. SantaMonicaFilmFestival.com for tickets. Come see us do stand-up in Baltimore, Hartford, Syracuse, Atlantic City, Levittown, New York, Coho, New York, Providence, Rhode Island, and San Jose, California. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for the tickets.